So we'll go straight into our Vents Day segment. This is your weekly chance to vent your spleen on topics in the news. We'd like your comments to be thoughtful and composed, but I think you're pretty good at that. 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org or comment on Facebook on treatment of veterans on this Veterans Day and voting on tax measures. So Vents Day now open for your calls, emails, and Facebook comments. We'll start with veterans, a subject we've all come to know well in recent weeks. Our joint project with Southern Oregon Public TV centered around the Rick Burns documentary Debt of Honor about the care and treatment of disabled American veterans in history. We expanded the focus a bit by talking about veterans issues more generally and taking in the constellation of services, governmental and non, available to vets who can use a little help. The project included a survey prepared by Emily Curitan, our producer, to take voluntary opinions through the internet. You'll hear the voices of some of the survey participants, but let's hear yours. What should we be doing for veterans, disabled or not, to ease their lives after they've served the country in the military? What is the reality of what we do for veterans? Is it too lavish, perhaps? Is it not nearly enough? 800-838-3760, jx@jeffnet.org, or you can comment through Facebook. Our other issues about local politics and government money. Last week's election featured a number of funding measures on the Oregon side. Some, like Eugene's library levy and Springfield's fire levy, passed. Others, like a Grants Pass vote on a sales tax to pay for public safety services, went down in flames. So it's a general look at money issues we see today. The questions, when voting on a local tax measure, is it a dollar impact that spurs your vote, as in, I'll vote for this amount, but not above that amount? If it's not strictly money, what are the factors you take into account when voting on tax levies or bond issues or any of the other money matters that show up in elections? Your comments welcome on this Vents Day. 800-838-3760 by phone, jx@jeffnet.org by email, or you can comment on our Facebook page. We have a call already from Eduardo in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I know I like Spain. They kill it, the bull. They're cruel, but that's not really what we're talking about.
All right.
You know, to me, this is a touchy subject. I do believe that there's a lot of heroism that does go on in our military, but the term hero is way overused. There's so much rhetoric that I find quite disturbing with regards to whatever you want to call it, the military-industrial complex. There's a lot of people that are very uneducated in that industry, and they've got a lot of issues as far as societally we have it anywhere, but rape is a big problem. The term hero I think is way overused, and I'm not sorry if it doesn't sound patriotic. I'm tired of this rhetoric. I find it disturbing.
Okay, but aside from the use of the term hero, Eduardo, I mean, if somebody goes off to fight in a war, whether you want to call them hero or not, and they have served the country and have come home and perhaps damaged in some cases, disabled either physically or mentally, or just having issues when they try to get back into society, what services should be available for them?
Well, that's very important, and I'm glad you brought that up. Like I said, there's a lot of heroism that goes on, but, yes, they need to be taken care of, and we've underserved them, to say the least. But I want to know why we're going to war. I want to know why is this ongoing thing since I've been around since the Vietnam War, and I want to know why we're constantly at war.
That seems like a good place to start, then, to talk about when we go to war, how do we make the decisions to go to war, and the decisions are made differently. We have to admit, in a time when, was it 0.4% of Americans are actually involved directly in the military. Eduardo, thanks for your thoughts. Very much appreciate it. This is Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. Our topics this week, veterans and what we should be doing for veterans, and whether it's too much or not enough at this point. The other topic, voting on tax measures and how you make your decision. 800-838-3760 by phone, jx@jeffnet by email, or comment on Facebook. Back with more comments in just 1 minute.
¶¶
It's 8:36 on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We're not just on the radio. We're also online at jeffexchange.org. You can find us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and certainly take part in the program as it happens, which is the expectation in our Vents Day segment. Your chance to vent your spleen on a couple of topics in the news. This week's topics on this Veterans Day, we're talking about the treatment of veterans, and we also want to know how you make your decision to vote yes or no on tax measures, because we had a couple of successful measures in Eugene and Springfield last week, for example. One just crashed and burned in Grants Pass when they sought a sales tax for public safety services. How do you make those decisions? And then what do you think about, again, what we're doing for veterans and what we should be doing for them? Good topic for this Veterans Day. 800-838-3760, the phone number, jx@jeffnet.org, the email address, or you can comment through our Facebook page. Brad in Mount Shasta, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say I'm fortunate enough to have a family member who's being honored at a veterans ceremony this morning, which I'll be attending. I'm a veteran myself, and I think that in a lot of ways we've given off a lot of lip service to our veterans. We have these wonderful ceremonies like we're going to do today, and yet we leave them hanging out to dry when it comes to medical care. And unfortunately, I see a lot more of that on the conservative side, where they frankly say that they're for the veterans, and then they don't ever vote to actually support the veterans. And really, that's all I wanted to say.
All right. Thanks for that, Brad. Appreciate your perspective. Absolutely. Let's go to Chuck in Klamath Falls. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Hi. I'm a World War II veteran.
Mm-hmm.
And my concern is that we have traditionally, as societies, always honored the veterans when there's a need for them, and then we let them go and tend to ignore them. We've done a pretty fair job, but I think that my modest proposal is that, not likely to happen, I guess, is that before we go into combat, we should budget for the care of wounded and their families after the war is over. In other words, the cost of war has to figure in what the likely burden on society is for the rest of the lives of those who served.
So not just foot the bill for the fighting of the war itself, but figure out what it's going to cost down the road to care for all the people who do the fighting.
Yeah. And then maybe we'd be a little more cautious about rattling the saber.
It seems to require some advanced planning. Do you think Americans are particularly good at that, Chuck?
Well, I don't think that our U.S. government is particularly good at it, generally. I realize that that's the point, and that's why this may just be a futile gesture, but it seems to me that we should be aware of it, and it should be made a big enough issue so that people would take a look at that. It's implicit in you know, the flag waving and the yellow stickers on the car and such, I guess, but it's that sort of, you don't need to worry if you put a sticker on the car with their, you've honored the veterans, and so we go on and do something else.
Oh, a salve for the conscience, but no real deep thought about it?
That's right, and we can do a flyover before the game begins and have some uniformed person sing, and I think that that tries to ameliorate, but I don't think it does particular commitment to supporting a piece of society.
All right. Chuck, thanks so much for the thoughts. Good to hear from you.
Thank you.
Take it easy. Let's go to Sandy in Mount Shasta. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day. We're talking about the treatment of veterans on this Veterans Day and how people choose to vote on tax measures. Go ahead, Sandy.
Yeah, I completely agree with the last couple of callers. Anybody who's had to put their life on the line like that needs to be taken care of to the fullest extent. But historically, as the World War II vet pointed out, we haven't done that. There's a book that's out of print and hard to find, but it's called The Wages of War, When American Soldiers Came Home from Valley Forge to Vietnam. And it shows how every single war, after it's over, the veterans are completely disregarded. And I wish more American parents would take an interest in history in question. I mean, how many wars have we been in recently that we got into through complete lies and fabrications? And I think if you go back, I was reading something in a British paper this morning about World War I and all the justifications for that war. I think parents would do their children a greater service if they really researched it, because I wonder how many thousands of American parents have died wishing that maybe they had, when the boys' draft notice had come for Vietnam, they had said, well, let's sit down and look at this, son. I'm not so sure about this. It seems kind of weird to me. I think a lot more of them would have urged their sons to go to Canada.
Okay, maybe. Sandy, thanks for that. Appreciate that. This is Vince Day on the Jefferson Exchange. Let's get your thoughts on the care and treatment of veterans, and more broadly, how we approach thinking about wars and planning for the human costs of war, both during the battle period itself and then in the many years afterward. I mean, we just talked to a World War II veteran, somebody who's still here 70 years after that war ended. These people are going to require some care. How are we providing it? How well are we providing it is the more accurate question. 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org or comment through our Facebook page or other topic. Voting on tax measures, if it's a property tax increase to pay for the schools, for the fires, for the building of new structures in your town, are you for it? Is it a dollar thing, or is it really what the money goes to? Let's get your thoughts on that as well. And while we're at it, let's hear some of the comments that we collected through our Local Focus Project, looking at veterans' issues. Here's a response that we got to the survey from Deborah in Ashland.
My name is Deborah Hofer, and I live in Ashland, Oregon, and have for the past 27 years. My cousin, Jerry McKenzie, also called Mac, was killed in Vietnam. When Jerry died, he was young, and he was perfect, and he was handsome, and he stayed that way. And a lot of pressure fell on his brother to perform and to live up to a legacy that really he couldn't. His mother went into deep depression that lasted for years. And my own family, my father, was deeply depressed for several years as a result of just unresolved grief that couldn't be helped or wasn't helped by anything we could offer or do. Not only do we need to take care of the veterans who come home who are physically wounded, psychologically wounded, but also the families who end up being wounded as well.
That from Deborah in Ashland, one of the voices we picked up in the process of putting together our Local Focus Project, which, as you've noticed, has led to a number of interviews here on the Exchange about veterans' issues and the dealing with those, and also led to our television program last night. What do you think? Let's get your thoughts on this Veterans Day about how we are treating our vets in this country, and even more broadly, how we approach wars generally, because as has been suggested thus far by a couple of callers, maybe we don't think this thing through entirely before we get into it. And is it, for that matter, that much easier to get into because of the fact that so few people are involved in that? I was comparing figures with somebody last night from the Veterans Administration, the Department of Veterans Affairs now, the VA, who pointed out that the figure is somewhere less than 1% of the total American population involved in the military directly. And then with all of the wars, and we're talking people who are still alive all the way back to the World War II era, we're talking maybe 7% of the U.S. population actually have a physical stake, actually have somebody who fought in one of those wars. So it is not something that affects the vast majority of the American public as it once might have. Your thoughts, please, about how we're treating veterans in this country and how we should be treating veterans in this country. 800-838-3760 by phone. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. And you can comment as well through our Facebook page. Let's hear another one of the voices we picked up through our project. Here is Joe in Redding.
My name is Joe, and I live in Redding, California. My father was wounded terribly in World War II from Japanese artillery fire. This, to me, was normal. You know, some fathers could play baseball or go hiking or go camping with their children, and mine couldn't. He managed to raise a family despite an 80% disability rating, but he had to do it performing some pretty menial work, menial physical labor. I feel that in a way, at least psychologically, I'm carrying on the scars of that damage long after my father has passed away. It's not something that just happens to an individual and it's over. It's something that affects entire families and for multiple generations, I believe.
That comment from Joe in Reading, one of the voices we picked up in the process of preparing the local focus look at veterans issues. Your thoughts are more than welcome on this, Vince Day. What are we doing for veterans? What should we be doing for veterans? One topic. The other topic is voting on local tax measures. How do you make your decision? Is it just a money thing? And you're thinking that if it raises my taxes by more than $60 a year, forget it. Or is it more about what it is that you're voting on? I mean, you're willing to go a little higher, for example, for library services, but not so high for, I don't know, a county extension district or something. Let's get your thoughts. 800-838-3760 on the phone, jx@jeffnet.org by email, and you can comment through our Facebook page as well. Jim in Grants Pass, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Yes, good morning. I was one of the few people that voted yes on the tax thing, and we all knew it would be defeated, very simply because they were asking us to vote on something to restore services. It was all government employees that we didn't have a chance to vote on 20 years ago. That's one of the big problems. And most counties, most cities, it's let the big guys that have made all the money pay for it. And in small communities, it's why aren't they talking to me? They forget that there's a whole lot of individuals in this town. Anyway, on young people going into the military, not out, one thing I'm very happy to hear, because I know a couple of them, recruiters, the days of father or older brother dragging a kid in and say, may the Army make a man out of him, and just, you know, they took, the guy got brownie points for signing him. I know a Marine recruiter, young fella, kid comes in, he says, hi, tell me about yourself. He leans back in his chair, puts his hands behind his head, relaxes, and lets the kid relax and say, tell me about yourself. And that one thing kind of opens the young guy up to, well, tell about himself. Why is he there? You know, what does he expect? Is he running away from something, or is he going toward something that's not going to materialize? And that will, I think, in the future, solve at least 10% of the problems.
So run to the military, or go to the military for a positive reason rather than that it's something
right,
other
yeah,
than...
Right, so many of them, my age, you know, of course I graduated in high school in 59, and that was still going on. They were trying to run away from, well, Southern Oregon. I don't blame them. And others had stars in their eyes. They were expecting too much. Then when they got there, they suddenly realized they were just, you know, part of a blob, like a kid in a classroom that nobody paid any attention to.
Yeah, a drop of water in a sea, in a sense. Thanks for that, Jim. Appreciate it. Good to hear from you. Let's go to Mike in Eagle Point. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day. We're talking about veteran treatment and voting on tax measures.
Good morning. I got out of the Army in 1972 and went back to graduate school using part of my GI Bill benefits because it was a master's program and a two-year course of study. I only used about half of them. Some years later, I thought, gee, I'd like to sort of get my computer skills up to date. I wonder if those other benefits are still available, and I discovered that they had expired. I forget what the time limit is now, was it 10 years or something like that?
But they do lapse, though, is the point, huh?
Yeah, and, you know, we live in an age now where lifespans are longer, careers are going longer, and the concept of lifelong learning is there. I'd like to see those benefits reflect that and maybe extend the period in which educational benefits are available.
So retraining can be done maybe several times over the course of a lifetime after military service.
Exactly.
All right. I want to ask you, Mike, because I'd ask this of any veteran who emerged during the Vietnam War, because we hear a fair amount from Vietnam-era soldiers and sailors that that they took their uniforms off and hung them up and didn't talk about it.
Well, I'd say that was, yeah, generally true. I was on a college campus. I went to the University of Washington, and I'm not particularly wounded either physically or mentally. In this age of stolen valor, I think it's important to point out that I never went to Vietnam. I'm a Vietnam era veteran, but I never served in country. I was supposed to go in 1972, but largely owing to changing moods in the country. They were scaling down the military, and they offered me a year out. So instead of going to Vietnam in 72, I did go back to graduate school and got married. You know, so I have very little complaint about all of that, and don't have the need or probably the don't deserve the kind of recognition that others that served in more hazardous occupations did. But yeah, it's not something that that entered very much into discussions. You know, we got out, we went back to our lives, and sort of forgot about it.
All right, Mike, thanks so much for sharing your story with us. I very much appreciate that. This is Vince Day on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about veterans and their treatment and what that should be and what it is, and voting on tax measures, how you make the decisions about whether you're going to vote for a property tax increase, for example, or a sales tax, as Grants Pass very resoundingly voted not to do last week. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Alan in Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes, this is Alan from Eugene.
Go ahead.
I am also a veteran of the Vietnam era. I was not stationed in Vietnam, and I don't claim to be a veteran with the same possible damage or the same needs as many other veterans. But nevertheless, being in the military, I saw how the military functioned, and I don't believe in an all-volunteer army. I believe in a draft system, but not to draft for the military. I think there should be a universal service requirement, and people could choose the area that they would serve in. I'm sure there'd be enough foolhardy young men to want to fight, but I think the country would benefit by having a much broader involvement in service. Including military.
All right. Several people have brought that up, Alan. Thanks for adding to the chorus there. But yes, several people have said, you know, maybe there should be national service of some kind, whether it's doing conservation work, doing something like the Youth Conservation Corps, or teaching in inner city schools or something like that, but some sort of national service that would require a commitment to something larger than just your own cause for a couple of years. And that's been brought up a couple of times. The other one that really leaped out at us from the comments we got on the survey was the concept of a reverse boot camp, where people who are coming back from war would be acclimated in the other direction again instead of getting their DD-214 and sent home. They would get something that would reacclimate them to civilian society. And I know there are programs out there, but the idea of having something that is more like boot camp, where you're still with your comrades in arms but worked your way out a little more gradually, is an interesting concept. More voices to hear from our project. Let's hear from Russ in Medford.
My name is Russ McBride. I'm a Vietnam-era vet, and I currently live here in the Medford, Jackson County area. When I was injured in Nam, I got hurt my right side and tore my leg up and everything, and I'm actually 100% disabled because of all the issues I have and all the injuries that I have. You know, dealing with PTSD, you know, I struggled with it. I didn't have a clue. I went through several marriages because of it. And we didn't receive any counseling from people. We didn't have that choice at that point. We felt, because nobody told us anything. No, we didn't. When we got out of the service, they just sent you out of the service and sent you home. When I was getting ready to come home, the guys, the lieutenant captains, they kept saying, "Do not wear a uniform home." And so, you know, not be able to be proud of what you did or serve in your country or anything, you're just came home and not tell anybody what's going on, you know, what you did and everything. You just kept it hush-hush.
Heard that comment many times over the years, in the 40 years since the ending of the Vietnam War. And I wonder what you have learned in your own experience as well, which is what Vince Day is about. 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Hear another voice here from a more recent person who served. Let's hear from Brandy in Medford.
My name is Brandy, and I live in Medford, and I went into the Army when I was 17 for a traffic management coordinator. It's kind of like a supply specialist. I'm a survivor of military sexual trauma. I didn't realize that I was even a vet because military sexual trauma wasn't considered an actual offense, or people didn't look at it like it was any kind of trauma or that something had happened to you. So Rogue Valley Veterans and Community Outreach helped me, extremely helped me embrace me being a veteran and trying to teach me a new way of living life and knowing that I was worthy of having a good life.
That one kind of smacks you right in the face, doesn't it? Worthy of having a good life? What a concept. I mean, I'm glad that Brandy's getting got the help she needed and is quite glowing in her support of the folks at REVCO, Rogue Valley Veterans and Community Outreach. Let me set up another voice that we heard during this process, which is from Rob, who runs a military history museum in Northern California and a nonprofit called Homeward Bound, which provides emergency assistance to military families in the region, and actually be on the program here on the Exchange Live on November 23rd at 8 in the morning. But here he talks about the questions that people ask him at the museum.
People come in, they want to know, okay, well, why did you serve? Or what do you think? Why did you think it was so important for you to serve or to go to the war? Do you think the war was right? Do you think that what you did was right or wrong? I still get those questions. And some people are searching for an honest answer, and I understand that. And I'm glad to work with them and to try to share my experience. And other people come in and they're throwing darts. They're looking to find fault. They're looking to call you bad for serving your country or bad for being in during a war time frame. And to those people, I explained that when I signed on the dotted line, I was committed to a task, and that task has not stopped. It did not stop, and I served honorably for 23 years, and if I had the opportunity to do it again, I would.
That is from Robin Cottonwood, one of the many voices we pulled in during our Veterans Project, which we called Local Focus because it was a local focus arranged around the Debt of Honor documentary on PBS that aired last night. I hope you get a chance to see that. Check your local listings to see when it might air again. I believe it aired in all of all the four TV markets that we serve here in the Jefferson Exchange listening area. But a lot to take in, a lot to think about, and a lot more to talk about veterans and their treatment in this country. Thanks for joining us in this hour of the Jefferson Exchange on JPR. Mm-hmm.